Well, many of us have projects, things that we like to do every year, and kind of lucky for us, Dennis Brusick, annual phenology calendar is one that we can all appreciate and enjoy. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dennis has been publishing the Wisconsin Nature Calendar for Home and Cabin for 34 years. He's also chair of the Wisconsin Land Fund Advisory Committee, and he joins us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Green Bay today with us by phone. And Dennis, great to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's great to be back.
And it's great to read again about Antigo Dave and Door County Carl and Kathy from Superior and Bluebird Joanne.
Yeah, I have to admit that it's a fun project to run. I've got a great observer network throughout the state. Many of these people, they feel like family. I've known them so long, and for many of these people, I've never met them in person. It's all been through email or on the phone, and they do some wonderful observations, and a lot of that gets in the calendar.
That makes it a lot of fun. And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. So before we go any further, let me just remind you, if you have a question, maybe you've heard of phenology before. What do you think is most interesting about it? Do you pay attention to it, or do you take note of the cycles of nature around you? Are you like Antigo Dave, or maybe you are Antigo Dave? Antigo Dave, if you're listening, you can give us a call, too, 1-800-642-1234. I'd frankly love to hear from anyone who contributes to the 2013 Wisconsin Nature Calendar. Love to hear your comments as well. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can pose a question or a comment there. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. And let's go back to phenology. What is phenology exactly, Dennis?
Well, it's a science, it's a discipline, and it's the study of how plants and animals have their lives intimately shaped by local patterns of weather.
Okay, and what does studying it tell us?
Well, the way I conduct my study is I get outside every single day and with the purpose of studying. So, you know, if I'm in the middle of fishing, I'll often just pause and I'll look around and pay attention to the weather. And if you do this every day, you get a feel of those weather patterns, and you pay attention to plants and animals. And if you do this every day, you start to get a very intimate feeling of their patterns. And the whole idea is you're always looking to see what's connected. And, you know, when you start to notice that this year after year tends to happen with that, You feel like you've gained a little insight into how the world works.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been around, this study's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Well, I'm getting to be an old man, so I guess it has been. But it keeps you young. I've been doing it almost all my adult life, and It feels like I'm always in the process of learning new things, and it seems to accelerate. And, of course, this is one of the nice things. The more you study and put the years on your phenology study, the more you start to gain perspective and insight. And so I think you do, just naturally, the longer you do a phenology study, the more you start to learn.
And I'm kind of looking and enjoying looking at your calendar. I have it right in front of me right now, and I'm looking at December of 2013, December 19th, and I'm seeing, you know, the highest ever was 51 degrees, and all this information right on it. When the sun rises and sets, the high and the low. Perhaps you will do a better job than I would explaining how the calendar is put together.
I don't know. I was listening to your explanation earlier, and I thought it was great.
Well, tell us.
I was thinking I got to put that down and remember it. Well, what I have each day is I have the sunrise and sunset, the average high temperature for that date, and the average low temperature, and the average high and the record high for the date and the record low. This is done out of Green Bay, but across the top, I have Door County, Hayward, Madison, Milwaukee, Minocqua, Eagle River, and Chicago for those people that live in those major areas and the adjustments and how, if they really wanted to get the exact minute where they live or the exact temperature where they live, how they could adjust. And but the Green Bay one is a pretty good average for the entire state to go by. And it gives you a sense. I know a lot of people love to give them the gifts to people who were, you know, living in Wisconsin at one time and now live in Florida, or they live out in California or New York, and give them an idea of what they're missing, you know. And it's just fun to see what the sun does and what the average temperatures are. And for some people, I've got friends who live south of me, and they're quite smug about their winters down there. But, you know, they actually do miss the seasons that we have here. Wisconsin, we're just so blessed. The seasons are so strongly defined where we live.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the really fun things about it.
Oh, yeah.
About the state. I mean, my goodness. And I'm looking at the calendar again here, and I've got December 2013 open up, and we have, you know, fish biologist Skip and making some comments about ice fishing. Talk a little bit about these folks who contribute.
Well, fish biologist Skip is he works for the DNR out of Park Falls. And Antigo Dave is a retired DNR person. As you can imagine, people who've done this for a living are really great observers. And they've done it all their lives, and they've been trained in it. And they're outdoors actively enjoying every season. And for many people who, you know, are average people, they tend to get all excited about phenology in the springtime because we're getting out of winter, and it's fun to see spring come in, but we tend not to be as observant the rest of the year, but I found DNR people are just a fountain of information. That, and there's a lot of people who are, you know, nuts about fishing or nuts about hunting or really into birds, and each one is an active observer all year round, and like Golfin John, he's a trained scientist. He's the curator of science at the Neville Museum, and he runs a hawk study, and he runs the Christmas bird count. And he and I do a lot of fishing together, and every time I look at him, his eyes are up in the sky. You know, he'll always see something that brings my eyes up, and I'll think, wow. As observant as I try to be, this guy is much more observant. And then when I'm with plant expert Paul, he was a UW extension agent, retired now, but every time I'm with him, his eyes are on the ground. and then I look down there and I go, wow, there is a lot going on down there. So all these people have either been, you know, they're actively doing it as a hobby, they're really good at it, or some of them have been actually trained and they're very good, very observant. And then the really key point here is, in order to study phenology, you got to keep a journal. You got to write this stuff down, because we, you know, our minds just tend to forget about things over a long term. And a phenology study is about paying attention to what nature and weather patterns are over a long term. So these are all people who are used to keeping notes, and they do, and they actually enjoy it. And, you know, I feel very blessed that they send me their notes once a month all year round.
Yeah, it's really very, very cool. And then obviously that goes in your calendar, and and that's on the sort of, you know, how a normal calendar opens with the two pages. You'd be kind of looking at two pages. The bottom page is the month, and the top page that's where all the comments come from these folks, which are really make for a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that top part, I always envision it as if you were invited to somebody's cottage and they kept an outdoor diary there about what they see every day at their cottage, and you get a chance to read what other people are seeing outdoors, people who live outdoors and spend a lot of time outdoors. And that's what that top of the part of the calendar is. It's I think of it as a journal, and an outdoor journal, and it's from the year before. And along with the observations, are kind of my insights from doing this for 30-plus years. You start to recognize patterns. I have an unenviable position, I should say enviable position, of getting everyone to send me their stuff. Plus, I keep an extensive journal myself, so... You know, I'm going, oh, my goodness, this person is seeing this at the same time this person over here is seeing this. And, you know, I'm able to see all these connections, and I gain a perspective from that. And it's just fun. It's why I've been doing it for so long, is I just have a blast doing it, and it's fun to share.
Randy in Madison calls in here. And, Randy, what's on your mind? Randy, are you there? We lose Randy? Must have. Well, that's too bad. You can join in, by the way, if you have a question or comment. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. You can email us as well at talk@WPR.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can... post a question or a comment, or maybe you've got a nature. I mean, it's kind of fun to see an outdoor, got a cool outdoor nature photo that you want to post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. I hope you'll do that too. This study for you, you got started on, obviously, you've been publishing this for 34 years, and you, I'm pretty sure, were interested in it before that time.
Well, it all started when I went to college and took a course. It was an English course, and they asked us to keep a diary of our everyday life, and then write a story from it. And at the time that I started this, I went back home and went fishing, and so a lot of fishing came into it, and I started keeping a fishing journal that I've never stopped. And then when I started the calendar, I started gathering people around that could fill in bird experts like John Jacobs, who I mentioned earlier, and a lot of other people like Paul Hartman. And they gave me expertise from a lot of different ways, and they started giving me their observations. And then with that, it just naturally flowed out of that. As I've been publishing more and more calendars, I've been expanding what I keep personally in my journal. So it started out just fishing, but you know, now it you'd be amazed if you read this stuff what's in my journal. I really have to stop myself from writing so much, because now I just, you know, every day I'm out there looking, I'm going, oh, that'd be cool in the calendar, you know, and then I can spend a half an hour to an hour writing about one day's worth. And then when you put the calendar together, it just kind of stops me in my tracks having to read so much that I've kind of learned to temper that. And so I can actually get the calendar out in time.
Oh, man. And by the way, we have on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, we've got a link there to order the calendar. You can get information on that on my Facebook page. And also, Dennis, you want to tell people how they can order the calendar?
Sure. can send the calendars are $10 each, and then $2 for shipping, handing, and sales tax, and that covers any number you order. So, like, if you wanted to order two, you'd send $22. If you ordered one, it'd be $12. And you make the check out to me, because I self-publish. That's Dennis Prusik. And you mail it to my address, 1701 9th Street. That's Green Bay. And the zip is 54304.
And we'll give that address again for those of you, if you didn't have a pencil handy, get a pencil handy, and we'll give it again. But also you can get it on our Facebook page as we talk with Dennis Prusik today about the phenology calendar and the study of phenology with him. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Dennis Prusik about his 2013 Wisconsin Nature Calendar. It's a phenology calendar. and visiting with him about phenology, what it is. Hope you're interested in it. Maybe you are. Maybe you've kept a record. Or maybe you have some questions about it. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. And let's turn to Dave in Augusta. Hi, Dave.
Thank you, Larry. I've been keeping track of the dates and fishing activity in northern Wisconsin for over 20 years, and they seem to fall about the same period of time every year, every calendar year. Without giving away too many secrets, there's a body of water that you and I like to fish, Larry. About June 14th until about the 29th or 30th, the wildlife activity is really picked up in that body of water in that area, as far as birds and loons and, of course, muskies. I think there is something to this. So I can plan my trips to that water three or four times a year and have a pretty good outcome on that. What do you think?
Well, I think I know exactly the body of water that you're referring to based on the dates, because those are... but Dennis, a comment?
Well, I'll tell you what. In classical phenology, this stemmed from people farming and being dependent on their livelihood, living off the land, so they really needed to know when to plant and when to harvest to maximize production, so they kept careful records. Well, we're not so dependent anymore, although there are a lot of farmers who will do this, but now fishermen. Fishermen are the modern-day phenologist. There's so many fishermen I run into, and, of course, I'm a fisherman, too. That's my main interest in the outdoors, and they'll keep records, and then they'll look back at those records, and they'll notice these patterns, and it really helps them because they know where to go. And you can just mention the time of year, and they'll say, okay, I'm going to go over here, because over here now is where I've learned the fishing activity is good now. And a lot of them have gotten so good at it, they can tell you the movements of muskie all around one lake by the seasons.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. Dave, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And there's more than, well, I know there's a lot more than Dave out there who keep track as fishermen, as Dennis was talking about. Mary and Madison, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Yes. I was wondering when tree frogs appear, and I read in the UW Arboretum newsletter that they freeze, that they don't live on over winter. And I was wondering if you could comment on those two things.
Mm-hmm. Dennis?
As far as the life cycle of the tree frog itself, I'm really not an expert on it. But the first frog activity in spring that you're going to hear is associated with ice out of the area lakes and wetlands. And spring peepers, western chorus frogs, a lot of those frogs are the first sightings, or I should say hearings, phenology events in springtime. Tree frogs, I have only a couple observers who send me very much information about tree frogs, and I really don't get enough consistent information on tree frogs specifically to help you, but over time I'm hoping that, you know, my gaps on these things will eventually fill in.
Hmm. Thanks, Mary, for calling. Appreciate your call. And Sue in Appleton, thanks for calling. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment because I buy Dennis's calendars and my list for presents keeps getting longer and longer because I give them out to people. And I think every family that has kids should have one of these in their house. But I have one at work, and everybody comes in and sees what's going on. And I have family that's from Europe, and they've been here, and I send them a Christmas present of the calendar. And then they know exactly what's going on around here on any given day. And we just love them.
Oh, that's great, Sue.
Well, Sue, your check's in the mail.
Well, no, but I've already received my 5 calendars, Dennis, well, so thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think I might know who you are, too. That's one of the neat things is every name I see, I go, oh, I remember them.
Yeah, I've had it for a number of years, and like I said, my list gets longer and longer, so now I've made that purchase break that mine are a little cheaper this year.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Well, there she is. She gives them as gifts. That's good, and they're good gifts. Susan in Houston, Minnesota, hello to you.
I'm fine. I just was listening as I was driving along to your program, and it struck me about my aunt, who had kept a calendar for years and years, and she would record, you know, anybody who would stop by that day or any birthdays and so on, but she also would record what the weather was.
Yeah.
And we always found this very interesting. I have no idea what happened to her calendars. She's been gone for a while now. She was in her late 80s or 90s when she died. But we always found this very interesting.
Well, it is. There's a lot of people that like to follow daily weather, and it's kind of a hobby, you know, like bird watching or fishing or anything for them. Just kind of following the weather patterns, and they like that feeling of kind of already anticipating what the weather's going to be like, because they've been doing this year after year after year. And
she lived in far northern Minnesota, so okay, you can imagine
sure.
The weather changes.
Oh, yeah.
Was severe.
Oh, yeah, up by Bemidji, those places.
Actually up in the northwest corner.
Oh.
Okay.
By North Dakota and Canada.
Yeah, and then plenty of weather change over there.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the extreme cold.
Right.
My wife's grandmother kept a diary from the time she was very young until she died. She was 90-some when she died, and she kept a daily record of the – and she always had the weather, what the weather was like on every day. Mm-hmm. And the other consistent thing was during the baseball season, she had the Chicago Cubs scores. If you ever want to know the Chicago Cubs score of any game for any day over a period of about 75 years.
There are a lot of people who would like to know that.
Oh, my goodness.
A strange habit of ours.
Yeah. I like that. Baseball phenologist.
Thanks, Susan.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Yeah, she was... She watched the Cubs listened to, I think, on radio, and then she watched them on television and got to go to a few games. But she was quite a delightful person.
Well, you know, Larry, she was only one step away from being a phenologist. The only thing that was required is that she would look for the connection. Like if she could tell you that a pitcher wasn't going to do well because the wind was out of the north.
There you go. I got to bring that up with my wife. She'll get a laugh out of that. Randy in Madison has a comment. Hi, Randy.
Good morning.
Morning.
What a nice show.
Thank you.
I'm 53, and I grew up in Madison. And it just seems to me that the ice cover in Madison is so much shorter than what it used to be. I seem to recall 4 months or so of ice cover, or maybe more even, maybe a little less, 90 days anyway. And now it seems like we have a month or two, and that's it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because it's part of my study is the ice cover around the state. And the back of my calendar, I've got an ice chart. And I have the on dates and the off dates. And then I've got for 60-year average, 30-year average, and 10-year average of all those dates. And I do have Mendota out of Madison. And just for example, the ice on, the average date for 60 years was December 28th. For 30 years, it was December 30th. But the 10-year average is January 6th. Yeah. So the ice has been going on later and later for the last 60 years. And the ice off dates for 60 years, the average date was March 27th. The average date for 30 years was March 26th. and the average date for the last 10 years has been March 22. So you're right on both counts. Ice has been going on later and coming off earlier. And for there are certain kind of lakes, too, that if they don't get a real strong ice up, even though they do have ice on, they're not necessarily always safe all winter long for fishing on.
Yeah, absolutely. Randy, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Yeah, that is pretty interesting to read the back of the calendar here and look at that ice out. And that's, I think that change is probably true, or that sort of, that direction of change is true for a lot of the lakes, isn't it, Dennis?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a consistent finding. And in fact, for those scientists who are studying global warming, that is their main tool of choice, is studying ice out data around the globe. In fact, I have at least one observer who is a contributor to those scientists also with their his ice on and off dates. And they've used that to correlate with the ice core studies that they do, which will give them an understanding of the range of temperature each year throughout our history. It goes back tens of thousands of years. And putting that all together, it's what originally got them thinking that every change they saw, and there has been changes throughout history, they could explain through natural means, and then all of a sudden they came up with this change in temperature that no longer was explained by all the things that had been explained before.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of led them to thinking, well, it has to be something new that's causing this.
Marge in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. I learned about phenology, which sounds kind of boring, but somebody at Kanuakopia made it very, very exciting sounding. I think it was Mr. Bates. And we started doing a calendar of the usual things that we love, like spring flowers and the migrant birds. And then, of course, the weather was phenomenal, so we started charting that. And then, of course, the garden, when you first could put things in the garden. So I think that would be a regular kind of thing that I do every year now that I've begun it. But what made it really exciting this year is that I was a den watcher for the North American Bear Center up in Ely, Minnesota.
Very cool.
And the bears, I watched from the days the bears were born to cubs were born through the use of a den cam, and then was a regular research helper by monitoring all the behaviors of the bear. And the bears came out of their den early because of the warm, warm weather, and they were out in early April. So that becomes part of my annual tradition of phenology now, to do the den watching and to put that in my spring journal. I'm just going to have a spring journal with pictures and the whole nine yards, because it's just interesting.
Well, I think you need to put out a calendar.
Well, actually, people can go to the North American Bear Center and find out lots, and they can actually watch themselves. So it's quite interesting. And being that I'm from this area and from a young person, I knew when the spring beauty came up in the woods, and I knew when the buntings would come through in the spring. It's always been very interesting and kind of an enlivening season, but this makes it extra, extra special.
Yeah, sure. It does.
That's really a good point. The Internet has really made phenologists out of a lot of people because of these cams. Stevie Boy in the calendar, his wife, when she retired, all of a sudden she became a contributor too, and now she leaves her laptop on all the time to the Eagle cams that are set up on the Wolf River, and so she watches that same sort of thing. She checks it out regularly, and it's that regular observation, so you can see when these life event things take place, like when the eggs hatch and the eagles fledge. And And I think it would be very exciting to have the opportunity to watch a bear cam for those same reasons.
Yeah. Thank you again, Marge. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And let's, well, we had an email from Elizabeth wondering if there's a similar type of calendar for Minnesota. Or can you talk about how yours could relate to Minnesota?
Well, I in fact, do send a lot of calendars to Minnesota. And so for those people who can read Wisconsin's happenings and see that it's very similar to Minnesota's, and it is, they have no trouble finding it very useful for other people. They would rather, you know, read one about them, their own area. I actually know of no other phonology calendar for Minnesota.
Mm. And yours, we've had a number of people call back and saying, wait, I didn't get that address, and how do I order? Certainly, I will mention again, if you go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, there's a link there with an address and information on how to order. But if you're not at a computer and would prefer to get it straight from Dennis, why, how do we do it, Dennis?
Well, the calendars are $10 each plus $2 shipping, and that's $2 whether it's one calendar or 10 calendars. And you'd make the check out to me, Dennis Prusik, and send it to 1701 9th Street, that's the number 9, and that's Green Bay, 54304.
And Prusik is spelled P-R-U-S-I-K.
That is correct.
And run that address once more.
1701 9th Street, Green Bay, 54304.
There we go. And again, if you didn't get it, please go right straight to my Facebook page. You don't have to be a member of Facebook or on Facebook to be able to get to my page, at least. And you can go there and get that information if you weren't able to get it down as Dennis was talking about it. Jeff in Racine has a comment. Hi, Dennis. Jeff?
Yeah, hi. Interesting show. I'm curious if your guest has any information about the level or the water level of Lake Michigan.
It's something. Did you want to say something else?
Well, I just seem to notice lately that it seems like the water level has gone down.
Yeah, it's down.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like a lot of things. I get a lot of peripheral information, and I kind of piece it all together. The one thing I've been getting more specific information on is the drought up in northern Wisconsin, where it's more severe than it has been in the southern part of the state, and its consequences. Lakes are going down there. I've had a lot of reports of people trying to get out. They can't even get out on their docks. They have to put their boat 50 to 100 feet out from their docks where it was, just to get out in the water. And I do know that it's had a residual effect on the Great Lakes. A lot of these water systems eventually drain in either into Superior or Lake Michigan. And so Lake Michigan is getting low again. And from a long-term perspective, I should say a medium-term perspective, the Great Lakes are getting lower. We had a little reprieve there when we had a lot of rain 2 years ago. That really brought things up very quickly, but now we seem to be on a drier pattern again, and it's hard to know how this is going to play out. But so far, it seems like we're in an extended pattern of most years being dry to drought, and only a few years normal to above normal rain.
Yeah, I can remember doing radio shows back in the late 70s, I believe, where it was just the opposite. People were worried that the Great Michigan was and Superior. Well, they were all much higher, and people were, you know, sort of losing property.
Oh yeah,
I recall that too, and that's why I was wondering. And the other question I had is: there any long term, like cyclical thing that might be going on here? I was around in the 70s too, and I recall some of the storms were pretty devastating to people who had shoreline property, but now 30 years later, almost 40 years later,
yeah,
it's quite a bit different. And I'm wondering, is there any natural cyclical thing that has been identified, or even factual numbers. Has anybody been keeping an eye on this?
Yes, I know there are scientists, limnologists specifically. There's one, and I can't remember the professor's name right now, who's a limnologist at Madison. He studies...
Probably that. Art Hassler was...
That could very well be him. Yeah. I know he's
part studied of the them for years.
Scientific community that's in on the global warming studies. And, yeah, there are long-term patterns.
Okay.
There are... you know, even looking back at the history of the Earth or the Great Lakes, there are long-term patterns, there are medium-term patterns, and these cycles actually have kind of a natural rhythm to them, and just what's different now is that the latest warm-up cycle was unexpected. We had seemed to be in a long-term pattern when looking at that. They would have guessed that we were on a slow decline into an ice age. And all of a sudden now there's this unexpected warm-up. There's no doubt that there are patterns of on Lake Michigan, and anybody who's lived there any length of time will be able to confirm that. I'm sure that there's lots of times where that lake seems the biggest worry is that it's going to be too high.
Yeah. Thanks a lot,
Jeff.
All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And Dennis, here, the time flew by. Here we are out of time. And again, just once more, let's go back and repeat the address and so forth and where to go to get a copy of your calendar.
Okay. Calendars are $10 each plus $2 shipping. And you make the checkout to Dennis Prusik. And you send it to 1701 9th Street, Green Bay, 54304.
Dennis, always a pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Larry.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again, I'm sure of that. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Dennis Prusik has been publishing the Wisconsin Calendar for Home and Cabin for 34 years. Great conversation about phenology. There's so much to enjoy and appreciate about our wildlife and their cycles of activities. Coming up next, we're going to learn about the life and career of landscape architect Jens Jensen. He was inspired by our natural areas as well. And I hope you'll stay tuned right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.